You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Thou Who Changest Not, Abide With Me. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Born in 1947, I'm in the first wave of baby boomers. Many of you listening are boomers like I am. Or maybe you are the parents of boomers. You are a large part of our listening audience. You parents of boomers did a lot for our generation. You won the war. You gave us unprecedented economic opportunities. You sent us to school, and to school, and to school. Wow, did you impress on us the importance of an education. For that, we thank you. So much that you did for us remains part and parcel of our being. There's something else that many of you parents of boomers did. That was to send us to Sunday school. I can't say that I remember many specifics about my Sunday school days at St. Paul's Church in Chicago Heights, but I do have general memories. Sitting in little chairs, dressed in our Sunday clothes. People don't talk about Sunday clothes anymore. I remember getting into trouble. I remember seeing different pictures each week of Jesus and other Bible characters. But now, over four decades later, my overriding memory of the Sunday school is the teachers who cared about us. I can't even name all the teachers I had. Mrs. North. She was a high school English teacher who put the fear of God into us little kids. Miss Umland. She really cared about us. Miss Paws was cool, and she knew how to connect with our minds. Mr. Bunty. Poor Mr. Bunty. He had us when we were in high school. Teaching high school Sunday school is like choosing martyrdom. But he did it. And that's how I still think of him today. And there were others. My point is, they cared. They volunteered to teach because they cared about us kids. I'm reminiscing about this because I came across a great little book written by Mr. Rob Parsons of England. His book is called Almost Everything I Need to Know About God I Learned in Sunday School. My Sunday school teacher, he writes, made me feel special. She made me feel I had the capacity to ruin her whole day by playing hooky. Whenever I came into the class, she would ask me about my week. I smile now as I think of this dear lady's sudden interest in football. And whenever I answered one of her questions about the Bible, she never made me feel silly if I got it wrong. She had the ability to make every child's reply seem worthwhile. Our Sunday school teacher accepted us. With her, there was nothing to prove. She accepted David, who was clever, and Simon, who was slow. She never treated Carl, whose father was a CEO, differently from Tom, whose dad was a bus driver. I remember thinking, I'll bet God is like my Sunday school teacher. Young Rob was right. God does care about you, about me, about us all. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. He cares for you, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Call upon me in times of trouble. I will rescue you, Psalm 50, verse 15. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, verse 1. In their own ways, yes, their own fallible human ways, our teachers reflected the God who cares for each of us. We've grown up now, no longer sitting on those little chairs in our Sunday clothes. My classmates George and Larry went off to West Point, served in the Army, and are now in civilian life. Diana lives in Clearwater. We called her Dicey. Bill is an accountant in suburban Chicago. His folks ran a neighborhood grocery store. Mary became a lawyer, and last I heard, was in Saudi Arabia. The little kids of the 50s have met life, and life hasn't always been kind. My Sunday school classmate, Art, had a severe stroke at an early age. And Lyle Hansen, and Lou Gores, and Bob Betzel gave their lives in Vietnam. Welcome to the real world. A lot of us have grown up and left the simple lessons of Sunday school behind. We've changed our faith. Oh, it's not that we have totally renounced Christianity. Some have cast it aside. But many of us have a new kind of faith. A curious, eclectic mix of ideas and philosophies with a pinch of God thrown in, and we casually call it Christianity. What many adults today call Christian is a far cry from the Bible lessons we learned years ago. So I ask you this question, and I beg you give it serious thought. What is it that you believe now? Put another way, what is it upon which your happiness depends? What is it that you trust more than anything else? What is the love of your life? What makes you tick? For some of you, it might be family. Think about it, though. Family is not completely dependable. I've been blessed with a great family. Wow, have I been blessed. But the kids are pretty much on their own now, and Diane and I know the years are numbered. My family can't carry me into the unknowns of a new millennium, and family can't carry you into eternity. Some of you know the shortcomings of family. You have had failed marriages. So, sooner or later, a family-centered faith is going to disappoint you. Career, is that what makes you tick? Is that what you're putting all your passion into? When I think about what some of my classmates have done with their careers, I'm amazed and proud. Their success is evident. Their contributions to society are significant. But that only goes so far, too. We are all starting to pay attention to retirement issues. What good will your career do you in retirement and thereafter? And again, not everyone has made it in their career. Maybe you've had some failures. Career can't be at the heart of faith. Some people don't have a passion driving them. They are just getting along. No office up in Sears Tower. No house on the Lincolnshire Golf Course. Just getting along and content. It amazes me how many middle-aged people say they have no goal in their future, no great purpose in living. If you are in this content with a status quo group, is this what you really want? Don't you hope there's more to life? I could go on. My point is this. Take some time to assess honestly what your faith really is. Then ask how far it will carry you into the future. Y2K is hurtling at us all. Not only is society going to change, your personal life is going to change. We boomers will be facing more and more health issues. Friends and family will be taken from us, and in the new millennium, you and I will die. The things that have made you tick in the past, what will they do for you then? You see, faith is a framework of beliefs that should give both meaning and direction to your life. To be truly meaningful, faith has to help you understand and deal with the downsides of life. The failed marriages, the career dreams that crashed, the Vietnams, the Columbines. That is, to be truly meaningful, faith has to account for what's gone wrong in your past. Failure isn't wrong, but often failure has come because you have sinned. You have forgotten, I have forgotten, the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots that we learned in Sunday school. But didn't Sunday school teach you a way to understand the wrongs of life? Didn't our teachers tell us that this is a fallen and sinful world? You know it now, don't you? And how many times didn't you see a picture of Jesus on the cross? How many times didn't you hear that Jesus died for your sins? How many times didn't you have to recite, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that meaningful, especially in view of the guilt that you carry for things you've done in your life? Rob Parsons writes, "It may be that our Sunday school lessons were taught simply, but these were not simple lessons. They were profound. If we can only rediscover their power, it will change the kinds of homes we have, the businesses we run, and even the governments we live under. In short, these lessons have the power to make the world, your world, a better place. And not only make the world a better place, I'll also add, carry you into the new millennium and into the world to come." A meaningful faith not only looks back with understanding and forgiveness for sins, a meaningful faith will also give you direction for the future. And biblical Christianity gives a direction like no other faith can. What Jesus did was earn forgiveness for your sins and thereby break the hold of death. With death's grip broken, the future promises to be life. And that life to come is not the change and decay, the toil and trouble that afflicts us now. It is the unseen life of heaven. St. Paul had a very meaningful, forward-looking faith. At the heart of it was Jesus Christ and the promise of heavenly glory to come. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, he wrote, "We are not discouraged, though outwardly we are wearing out. Inwardly we are renewed day by day. Our suffering is light and temporary, and is producing for us an eternal glory that is greater than anything we can imagine. We don't look for things that can be seen, but for things that can't be seen. Things that can be seen are only temporary, but things that can't be seen last forever." What Paul wrote reminds me of something we all heard many times as youngsters. I don't know if the Sunday school teacher said it, but our parents certainly did. "You may not understand what I'm telling you now," they would intone, "but someday you will." That's still true of the basic lessons we learned in Sunday school. Even though we are grown and think we are pretty sophisticated, there is so much more to life than what we see and know even now. There are the unseen things that Paul and other authors in the Bible talk about, the things of heaven, of God and Jesus, of forgiveness, of faith. In the 16th century, Martin Luther wrote, "Faith is a divine work in us, which changes us and makes us to be born anew of God. It kills the old Adam and makes us altogether different people in heart and spirit and mind and powers, and it brings with it the Holy Spirit. Faith is a living, daring confidence in God's grace, so sure and certain that the believer would stake his life on it 1,000 times. This knowledge of and confidence in God's grace makes people glad and bold and happy in dealing with God and with all creatures. And this is the work which the Holy Spirit performs in faith. Faith, says Hebrews 11 verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Even though childhood Sunday school days are long past, we have not yet reached the true age of maturity. In the eternal scheme of things, we are still minors. The greatest future is still before us, and we'll enter that great future. We'll truly come of age when we go to heaven to be with Jesus. Then we will see. But now we do not live by sight, but by faith. Now our greatest focus should be upon the things as yet unseen: God, Jesus, forgiveness, faith. Though we heard those themes in simple ways in Sunday school, they are still true. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Amen. Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message.
This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.